Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. This is going to be an all-English episode. I haven't had one in a long time, but in this case, I figured that it might be interesting for English listeners as well. I'm in Stockholm. I had the pleasure to talk to Ian Mendes, who's covering the Senators for The Athletic. He also is one of the co-hosts of The Athletic podcast, so you guys might know his voice, might know him from his work. And we sat down in the Avicii Arena. He talked to me beforehand, so I had the pleasure to give him some information about how we watch NHL hockey in Europe, what are the challenges. I don't know if I'll be in the article he's probably going to write about it, but it was quite interesting, and I was humbled that he asked me about my opinion, about my experiences covering the league and being a fan as well of the NHL. So, guys, enjoy Ian Mendes from The Athletic, live on tape from Stockholm. So I'm sitting in the Avicii Arena, I think it is, formerly known as Globen. And I'm talking to Ian Mendes, who's writing for The Athletic and who's doing The Athletic podcast show. So most of my listeners probably will also know your voice because your show is also very famous in Germany. Ian, first of all, thanks a lot that you take the time here in Stockholm to talk to me. And before you talk about how you became the reporter, I got one more question. How is your jet lag? How are you?
You know what? And we're having this conversation early afternoon. I've been in Sweden for about 24 hours. I had a terrible sleep. My first night, slept for about 2.5 hours, and I woke up at 3 a.m, was wide awake for 3 hours. So now I have to figure out how I get through the next 7 hours, 8 hours without napping. So you're getting me at a good time. You're getting me at a good time.
Eastwards is always the difficult one.
Going west is a lot easier.
It's easier.
So much easier.
But you are covering the Senators. So first of all, how did you become the Athletic beat writer, reporter? We talked about it for the Senators.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, Lars. I have covered the Senators for more than 20 years now. I started covering them in TV. I worked for television for about 12 years with Sportsnet. Was a broadcaster, broadcaster games. Then I moved over to radio, did about 7 years as a talk show host, covering the Senators, talking about the Senators. And then about 3 years ago, there was an opportunity with The Athletic to jump over and be the beat writer. And I thought, you know what? I've done TV. I've done radio. Now's a chance to try writing. So that's really how I came about it. And I really, really love working there. And I love doing the podcast. And it means a lot to us when we do the podcast, when we come and talk to people like you who take the time to listen to our shows. And it's really cool for me to be able to talk to somebody overseas that listens to our athletic hockey show.
Regarding the podcast, how do you guys decide on which topic you want to focus on the show? Is it just like you have some general ones and then it depends on the guests coming in? Or what is the schedule, I would say?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we do is we go into every show with a plan. And I find Monday is the easiest day to do the show because the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there's lots of things that happen. So you can come in and you probably have 10 or 15 ideas, and then we only talk about 3 or 4 of them. And so for me, I think what we try and do is let's pick the 3 or 4 biggest stories in the league. Let's find the ones that the fans in Vancouver and New York and Germany and wherever. We want to talk to the average NHL fan, and we don't want to be so specific that somebody's not interested in it. So yeah, we just try to find the biggest stories, most interesting stories, and it seems like Ottawa has been one of the most interesting stories, right?
I would have gone there as well. Yeah, you talk about most interesting stories. The most interesting team from a story standpoint were the Ottawa Senators so far. I mean, it looked to me during the summer, it looked to me, okay, they're going to get a new owner. It's going to be quiet. They're going to start the season great. They might go on to a run and go into the playoffs. And I'm not going to say it went south. Everything went south, but there were so many topics. Let's start with the Pinto one.
Yeah.
Everybody was wondering about when the contract will be signed. Will he be available for the season? Will there be a trade to make room for him? And then all of a sudden, for me, it was the story broke out there. I mean, probably you had a hint about something brewing before it broke out?
I'll tell you, the only thing I found out a few days before, somebody told me that there's something weird about the situation. But that's it. Nothing. And I didn't know what that meant. I honestly didn't know what that meant. And then a day and a half, 2 days before, I got a heads up through, and Chris Johnson does a great job covering the NHL for us. Now he's joined us with The Athletic, and he has sort of was digging in and had heard this. And so that's really the first time I heard of it was Chris Johnson came to me, and they said, look, this is going on. So it was a big shock, for sure. And I think for a lot of fans, it was a big surprise. And I think what was really disappointing is there was no real explanation on exactly what he did, what rule did he break. It was very general. It was very vague. And it's disappointing, not only as a reporter, but also as a fan. You want to know what somebody did. And
we just talked about growing the game. I think that's something. I mean, I don't know if anyone will ask Gary or we have a chance to ask him tomorrow, but that's the one thing. Then we're going to talk about the trade debacle there that led to the Senators being stripped their first round pick. But the transparency or non-transparency by the league, I mean, there's so much stuff going on regarding this one betting. Then you always have the, for example, you always have those hits where one hit is a suspension, the other one is nothing, and you don't have an explanation for that. Sometimes you get fined. Is that something that is also, I don't know, specific to Ottawa, but is that something that's also frustrating for you guys that there's no transparency and consistency sometimes in decisions and processes around the league?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the Pinto one, it wasn't just us in the media and it wasn't just fans. I think the players,
I heard an interview. I don't know who it was from the Coyotes who said that.
Lots of players, I think, were confused because they
want to know.
They wanted to know, maybe I'm doing something wrong. How do I know what I'm doing wrong? And so the transparency needs to come from the league, and I don't think it did there. It was really weird. It was a short press release, and you know, everybody now they sign these non-disclosure agreements, meaning nobody can talk about this stuff. So it's locked away, and we can't get the answer. And it's disappointing as a fan, especially for fans who spend a lot of their time, a lot of their money on the league. They want to know what's going on, and we're not getting the answer. So it's really frustrating, for sure. I agree with you. You want transparency.
I think the best quote I got was, I don't care what Pinto did, but I don't want to do it as well. Because the players want to know. And you don't have, I mean, regarding the player, you don't have to be specific. Just put out, those are the 10 rules that you're not allowed to do that regarding betting. That's it.
Yep.
We don't go into what he did, but those are the rules. But okay. Do you think that, I mean, I've read some stuff that there was an article today at The Athletic that they specified some parts of it, some parts of what he did to the general managers. Do you have any clue that there's been more information?
No, but I think that's, again, general managers and players are asking, what did he do? Because they want to know. They want to make sure that they don't have the same problem happen. So I think the problem is the Pinto situation is because it's locked in an agreement, confidentiality agreement, non-disclosure, there's only certain things they can tell people. They can't tell them the whole truth. They can't say, this is what he did. So the best thing they can do is tell players, okay, here's what you shouldn't do. Here's what you can't do. Here's what we think you should do. But it's difficult because the gambling aspect has come into hockey now. And you can't watch a broadcast in North America without seeing 20 ads for betting or gambling.
It's on the helmets. It's everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's the same in Europe as well. So yeah. it's
It's just everywhere you see around soccer or whatever you watch, there's always betting involved. So that was the first big story, I would say. And then a couple of days later, after 1.5 years, I forgot about the trade already.
Yeah.
I didn't forget about it, but I thought, okay, yeah, it might have been handled. They get a fine or whatever. And then the story broke out that the Senators will be stripped of their 24, 25, 26 draft pick. And first of all, they get rid of their general manager. And then the owner holds a press conference. And again, did you have any feeling about what it would look like, the press conference, and what it would sound like?
Yeah, so the Andlauer, Mike Andlauer's press conference, I did not think he would be that critical of the NHL. He was very animated. He was very passionate. He was very just colorful. I didn't expect that, not in a million years. And what I think it showed was how frustrated he was as an owner. Imagine you spend $950 million on something, and then somebody tells you that there's a risk of something, but don't worry, it's not going to be a big deal. And then it turns out it is a big deal. And I think losing a first-round pick is a big deal.
Definitely.
To me, it's a big deal. And I understand the frustration. I'm excited to potentially ask Gary Bettman this week here in Stockholm. Why? How did that process play out? Why did it take 18 months? Why are you punishing a new owner for the mistakes and the sins of an old regime? Those types of questions. But I was shocked. And that's a stiff penalty. Like, if they had just said, we are taking a third-round pick away and a $50,000 fine, okay, I understand. First-round pick? That's a huge price to pay to me.
And again, the comparisons to other penalties, the comparisons to other fines, it's just it's strange. I mean,
or Chicago, what hasn't happened there?
I don't know if it was you guys talking about the Devils getting stripped of their first round pick first, and then they get it back because the owner changed.
Yeah.
And the reasoning, I don't know if you guys were talking about that. The reasoning was, or the supposed reasoning was that, in that case, it was the owner who made the decision and not the GM. In this case, it was the former GM of the Senators who made the decision. So as he was still the active GM, they're going to punish him as well. But like you said, talking about growing the game, you want to get into new owners. You want to get into new money there. And how the picture you paint, your owner doesn't know why something took so long. I mean, and it's just baffling to me.
It is so baffling. It's baffling to you in Europe. It's baffling to us in Ottawa. It's baffling to the owner. It's baffling to a lot of people. And, New Jersey got their draft pick back. Maybe there's a chance that Ottawa can do the same thing, but they're going to have to keep appealing and applying, and I don't know. Maybe the NHL will say you don't have a choice. We're taking it away from you, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Do you know any rules regarding the trades? Do they have to? I mean, you talk about it's capital. Probably not that they want to use that player they draft there, but maybe they can use the draft pick to improve the team.
Exactly. It's capital. It's not the player. It's what it could be, or like you could maybe you trade that to get a player or whatever it is. Yeah. It's so valuable in the NHL. You only get every team gets one first round pick every year. To take it away over something that happened 18 months ago with an old owner, I don't know. I think that's a little much.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing is that what came out today was that the general managers have the option to put the list for no trade to the NHL. Why do you have the option after that? Why don't you want to have that centralized and have it stored somewhere? I mean, I can see that they fear that another GM might get the list and they know something that someone else doesn't know, but you got to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And by saying you have the option, I don't think that's going to make sure that this happens again. Have you heard something from the Senators as well that they are, I don't know, proposing a solution for that?
Well, the only thing I'll say is that, I mean, they ended up firing the general manager largely because of that, right?
So, did Steve Staios say, in the future, we're going to send the list as well?
No, but I hope that this whole story leads to some common sense. Because, like you said, how do they not have this? And I understand, if you put it all in one central registry, maybe the concern is, Steve Yzerman in Detroit, he's going to go in and get into the central registry, and he's going to look at the Ottawa players, and he's going to know who doesn't want to go to Detroit or who doesn't want to go to Ottawa or who, whatever it is. And you don't want that. I get that. Yeah. But there needs to be a simple solution to this outside of just taking a general manager at their word, because that's ridiculous to me, truly ridiculous. So I don't know how and why it came to be this way. I'd like to think that they're going to fix this in an easy manner.
So all those stuff, all of the things we talked about are off ice. So the on-ice product for the Senators, they played pretty well, I would say, until Alex DeBrincat returned to town, yeah. Pretty much. Why did this one game cause the team to, I don't want to say spiral down, but to perform less than they did the games beforehand?
It's so true. You know, Ottawa was, they won three of their first four games. They were 3-1. They were beating Detroit 1-0 when Detroit came. They were out shooting them 14-2. It was all going well for them. And then DeBrincat got hit in the corner by Ridly Gregg, and everything changed. From that moment forward, Ottawa lost, I think, 5 of their next 6 games. The confidence was gone. It is the weirdest thing. And they're trying to get their confidence back. I think they got a little bit of it back. Yeah. But what I think is interesting about this trip to Sweden is Ottawa is struggling.
All teams.
Minnesota is struggling. There's a lot of heat on the two coaches, Dean Evason and DJ Smith. Toronto is off to an okay start, not up to their standards. And Detroit has lost 6 of their last 9 games. Yeah. So everybody's coming here with some degree of urgency or feeling like they need the win. And it's not just Ottawa. So that's what's interesting to me. They're not going to come here and find 4 easy points.
Yeah.
They're going to find 2 opponents that desperately need to win.
And it's something that I heard from the players as well, that they are not only focusing on the experience here, but they're saying those are 4 points we need. Those are 2 wins we need. It's great to be here, but it's more, I think, more focused than in recent years when teams came over. It's more on the ice product side than just taking the experience of coming to Europe together. I did a question before the season for my listeners on who would win the Art Ross Trophy, and I listed 4 players. McDavid was the pretty much unique choice there. Obviously, he's struggling, and the only extra I got was one of the guys from Germany, mentioned Tim Stützle. He had a breakout season last year. What have you seen from him so far this year? And do you think he has it in him to be, I would say, the second best scorer after McDavid? Because if McDavid is healthy, he's going to win the race.
It's a high bar, because I think there's some other players I would put in there. Jack Hughes I would probably put in there. People always forget about Kucherov, but he's probably still in the conversation. McKinnon, there's a few guys. But Tim last year had a breakout year, and I think if you asked him about his first 12, 13 games this year, he would say he's just been okay. He wouldn't say that he's been great. He wouldn't say that he's been dominant. And he still has, what is he, 15 points or something in 12 games, 13 games? Well, he's still a point-a-game guy. But the exciting thing is when you watch him, you know he could play better than this. And so that's exciting. Like he has become, I think, it shows you, that even when he's not playing great, he's a point a game guy. He's an 82 point guy, and that's special. There's not
it's
a
his
lot
flaw
of,
now, and then that's everything his flaw. Else.
But the question is, what's the ceiling? Yeah. Is the ceiling 100 points? Is the ceiling 120 points? He's that good that I think, he probably needs one more season. If he has 100 points this season, then I think it's fair to say, could he win a scoring title? I think that becomes a fair. Right now, I think it's a touch early. He's still not in that. I think Jack Hughes and those guys a little bit above him. But if he has a great
Pettersson this year,
maybe, Elias Pettersson would be another guy. But if he has one more good year, 100 points or flirts with 100 points, I think we could put him in that conversation for sure.
And as you're an insider on the Senators, if you should name one player that is not from the standard group of superstars who play for the Senators, who would you tell my listeners to just take notice and take a look at, maybe who's fun or whatever he is, and why?
You know what? I will say Jake Sanderson. And, you know, when you think about Ottawa, you think about Tim Stützle and you think about Brady Tkachuk, and maybe now you think about Giroux and you think about Tarasenko. You probably don't think about Sanderson. I think he might be their best player. I think he might be their most important player, and I certainly think when he's playing well, he's their best defenseman. And he can kill penalties. He's on the power play. He's very quiet, though. You know, when you think of the best defenseman in the game, you think of, you know, maybe Makar, Quinn Hughes. They're really explosive, dynamic. Even Fox in New York, they get a lot of points. They get a lot of attention. Jake is different. He's quiet, and he's very efficient, and he's really good defensively. And that's a rare thing. Like, in today's NHL, you just think about points, 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 offense. He's really good. So if you're watching these games, or if you're watching an Ottawa game, number 85 is the guy that I would pay attention to. Like, the one thing that's amazing, watch him break the puck out, take the puck out of his own zone. He almost never makes a mistake. In fact, the whole game when you watch him, he almost never makes a mistake, and he's 21 years old.
The cool thing is I just talked to Hamonic and him, and Hamonic mentioned that he's such a great two-way guy. He told me that he's just, for his second year, he's very mature, like you said, very relaxed. And for a defenseman, that's not always the case. I mean, they grow slower usually than offensive players. So, yeah. Okay. Ian, thanks a lot. And, yeah, maybe we can talk later on in the season. And it's fun to talk to you guys and to be here in person and meet some of you guys.
It was so nice to be on your podcast. And thanks again for listening to our show. And, now we've got each other's WhatsApp contact info. So I'd love to be on your show again at some point.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.
Viva la Podcast. Podcasten muss sich wieder lohnen.
Wir bieten dir kostenloses Podcast-Hosting ohne Limitierungen.
Du kümmerst dich ums Podcasten.
Und wir kümmern uns um den Rest.
Und das Beste daran, du verdienst auch noch Geld. Ab dem ersten Hörer.
Der ersten Hörerin. Besuche uns auf kostenlos-hosten.de und informiere dich.
Teure Hostingkosten müssen nicht sein. Kostenlos-hosten.de. Die Podcast-Re-Evolution.